Okay, I'm going to do something I've never done before, but feel convicted to do, and not saying that to make you think that there's some great and powerful message coming today, but I'm going to talk about Halloween just a little bit this morning, because I think we as Christians need very practical life application kinds of sermons, and I've been thinking about some of the things we've been preaching about, and I thought, you know what, I don't know that I've ever heard a sermon on Halloween and what it is and how a Christian should approach it. But I think we need to think about it because just in a few days, we will be celebrating this holiday that grips a lot of our nation. Oh, October the 31st. Now, originally, Halloween was a Celtic festival that began with the name Samhain. And people lit bonfires and wore costumes. It was in connection with All Saints Day. You probably have heard of that, an honor of saints. But they did this to ward off spirits and spirits and ghosts and so on and so forth in relationship to the dead. And then later on, November the 1st was counted, became All Saints Day, and then the day before that was called All Hallowed Eve, which kind of came into our name Halloween. But over time, Halloween is not a celebration of saints or what they have done or in remembrance of saints, but I know VMRC celebrates a kind of All Saints Day, kind of when they light candles and have a celebration of lights at Christmas. So some of that is still done today. But basically, Halloween has evolved into a day of activities where things like trick-or-treating and you know what all goes on. Jack-o'-lanterns, festive gatherings, donning of costumes and eating of treats and so on. So how should a Christian face this holiday? And I'd like to take us to the scripture. Does the Bible give us a basis, a background on how we should face Halloween? And that's what my first part of the message is. No, the Bible does not mention Halloween and how we should celebrate it. It just doesn't. It wasn't in that day, and it's come around since. But I really do think the Bible gives us good direction in which we can base life's principles upon every situation that we face. And I think if we go to the scripture, we can discern whether or not how God would want us to face Halloween and its dark and questionable celebration. First of all, let's just look at think about what the Bible does say about the dark or demonic or the spirit side of our lives. And I think if you go to the scripture and just look at scripture as a whole, you can understand and see that the Bible acknowledges that is a very real side of life. You can be influenced by the demonic, and you can communicate to the spirit world. You can do that, and the Bible acknowledges that. Just a number of stories by memory to help you think about that in relationship to that. One of the first in the Bible is Jacob, and he was a godly man. But in his experience with Laban, you come to this story of him putting branches of trees into the watering trough, and you're like, what in the world is this man doing? What is this all about? And the Bible doesn't even tell us what it was about or what he was doing, but he was trying to, by placing branches into the watering trough, he was trying to get a certain kind of flock because he had bargained with Laban to have spotted animals as his animals and the unspotted as Laban. And then later Laban changed it, so then he got the unspotted, and then Laban got the spotted. Well, I don't know what those branches were, but if you look at what people think, of course you have to suppose some and understand history and understand culture, but it seemed like Jacob was entering into some unusual kind of husbandry in the breeding of his flock to obtain the results that he wanted. And was that good or bad? The Bible actually makes no comment or condemns Jacob in that. But I would say it was very questionable behavior. During the plagues of Egypt, we have another situation in which magic was used. Remember the plagues. Moses said, this is what's going to happen. He said, there's going to be blood in the rivers and in the water troughs and in the wells and so on. And he prayed and there was. But the Bible says the Egyptians' hearts were turned cold because the magicians could also accomplish the same thing. And I don't know how in the world the magicians did that, other than the fact that the devil is a real and demonic power. Amen? Thank you, Dale. You could hear that little frog in there, couldn't you? And the next one is the frogs. When Moses said that there was going to be frogs over the whole land, somehow those magicians of Egypt were able to accomplish the very same thing. Now, I will say this. The devil is a masquerader. He is a deceiver. And the Bible clearly, on quite a few incidences, gives us illustrations of those who are not godly being able to accomplish miracles, and tells us that we have to be aware of that and be on guard of that. So just because there was a miracle doesn't mean it was a miracle of God. Just remember that. The magicians were able to copy it, but they were only able to copy those two. Everything after that, they were not. Now, there's another story about Saul, and he did not walk with God. He was disobedient to God, and he needed information desperately. He was in a battle, and he knew that he was losing the battle, and he wanted information. He wanted it from Samuel, who is the one who had anointed him to be king over Israel. And so he goes to this witch to get this message, and he had actually banished all witches from Israel right before that. So this witch was in hiding, and he goes to this witch in hiding and seeks a message from Samuel, and he does bring up an apparition? What is the name of that? Is that what it is? An appearance of somebody? This Samuel comes up, and you read that story, and Samuel gives him a message as if it was from the Lord. Now, was this a demon, or was it really Samuel? Well, I would say this. And then the Bible goes on to talk about that situation. The fact is, the Bible condemns it. But I would say this. I don't think any witch will ever have any control over a child of God after he's dead. Amen? And so I really do believe in my heart that this was not Samuel. I believe God allowed the devil to be impersonated, and through the mouth of someone the devil was controlling, gave Saul a message that was real and it was true. And Satan will at times give you a real message. I think that is underscored in history as you look into this subject. And then you can go, you say, well, that's all Old Testament. What about the New Testament? Well, there are stories in the New Testament. Jesus casted out demons on lots of occasions. And the apostles, three times in Acts, had interactions with people who were demon-possessed. And when you look at all of those stories, the Bible gives us no positive affirmation or affirmative interaction of anything that has to do with a demon or demon possession or any form of darkness or anything that's demonic. It is always portrayed as sinful and evil. Now, that's my assumption. You might challenge that and say, okay, here's another story we need to consider. But as I look at Scripture, I don't see the Bible giving us any positive affirmation of any kind of interaction with that kind of demonic or dark suppression. So let's read some very strong scriptures that tell us and talk to us about this kind of interaction. First of all, let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Now here, I readily admit, the Bible is not talking about Halloween, but it's talking about the interaction with spirits. When you enter the land of the Lord your God is giving you, verse 9, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. So what were the detestable ways of the nations that were there? What were those ways? This is what it says. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices his son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, or interprets omens, or engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. Now stop there. So you can see from that passage of Scripture, the Bible is not talking about a certain holiday, but it is clear that the Bible is addressing our any kind of interaction on our part to sorcery or communication with the dead or trying to get information from some kind of dark or suspicious source. Now the Bible wants you to have information. The Bible wants you to have truth. And that's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about seeking truth. It's talking about where you seek truth. You understand? It's how you get that truth, that message. In Leviticus, it says that any person who turns to a medium or a familiar spirit to prostitute himself to them, I set my face against that person, and he must be cut off from his people. Again, in Leviticus, it says, a man or woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirit shall surely be put to death. You shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Isaiah said this, and when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards who whisper and mutter. Should not a people seek their God? In other words, people are saying, go seek from these sources. And God is saying, why would you do that when you can seek me, the true giver of information? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to the word, it is because there is no light in them. So again, the Bible is very clear that sorcery, witchcraft, talking to the dead, communication with spirits, or anything kind of like that, or trying to get in contact with the spirit world, is wrong and there is no light. It is a dark thing for us to do. So going back to the story of Saul, this is what the Bible says about Saul and his communication with that witch. Listen carefully to these words. So Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he committed against the Lord because he did not keep the word of the Lord. That was his rebellion. And also because he consulted a medium for guidance. But he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord killed him. That's a pretty strong statement. Now again, you would say, well, those were all Old Testament passages. What about the New Testament? The New Testament follows right in harmony with the Old Testament. In Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, which is talking about the works of the flesh, those who do not live their lives for God, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, and it lists a whole lot of them, and I'm only going to talk about a few. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, and sorcery is listed in that list. Just as I told you in the past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation says this about a group of people, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Clearly, the Bible does not support any kind of involvement with the spirit or demonic world. Now, I say that, but is that speaking of Halloween? And I would clearly say, yes, it does. It applies. We can get principles from this to apply to our celebration of Halloween. How does the Bible encourage you to get your information? First of all, and we go over this so often at Bethel, I think maybe I sound like a dead horse. Or, I mean, Miller's already talked about it once this morning. And I don't want to sound like an old symbol that just keeps on clashing. But how does the God want you to get information? The Word of God is the primary source. And Miller already talked about its truth. John says that the Word of God is truth. Your Word is truth. In Psalm it says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That means we can go to the Word of God for clear instruction to get a clear path the way in which we are to walk. And again in Psalms it says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And you might say, you know what? I've got a simple mind. I can't understand. I don't remember. But the Bible tells us, to the simple, it gives light. And just receive that. Go to the Word of God. Look for light for your path. And it was mentioned this morning already, too, about prayer. Prayer is another way in which we are told to get information. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. So let me just give you an illustration from my own life. I've drilled 5 wells in my life, and all of them were over 900 feet deep. That's deep. That's a long ways. When you're watching that well drill run and you're paying, I was paying $10, $12 a foot back when I was doing that. I mean, you could just sit there and just lay out $10 just about this fast. And I mean, soon you got 100 and soon you got 1,000. And he just keeps on going down and you're just chucking those $10 bills out there. What about water witching? What about water witching? And you know, we witched some wells. We had some dry wells. And I got convicted. And I told my dad, I said, we are not going to use a water witch anymore. I said, let's go home. And let's pray. And let's come back tomorrow and drive a stick in the ground. You drive your stick and I'll drive my stick and we'll put the well halfway between those two sticks. And we did that. We drove our sticks in the ground, and I think our sticks were 15, 20 feet apart. It just so happened that's the way it was. So we went in the middle, and we drilled a well. We drilled a well 200 and some feet and got a good well. Now, I've prayed about other wells, and they're deeper than that. Did God answer my prayer? Yes, he did. But we need to seek wisdom from God. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then, God has given us his Holy Spirit. You've got a conscience, and your conscience will speak to you and give you. If you allow your conscience to be guided by the Word of God and by prayer and by the Holy Spirit, you seek what is right and what is good. You can hear an inner voice at times to tell you this is the way you should go, and you can trust it. You can trust it. The Bible says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. If you train your conscience to hear the Word of God and to hear the voice of God, you will hear that voice and it will tell you which way to go. I've had that happen. I've been milking or doing something and a little voice just, And you know what? If you are disobedient to that voice and you are walking with God and you are seeking that voice, you will find out that that little voice is important. And if you don't listen to it, you're going to pay for it. I've had it to happen. I can testify to that. Nothing specifically this morning, but I just know the Holy Spirit can guide you in truth. He really can. That doesn't mean that you fill your mind with all kinds of garbage, all kinds of destructive things, and then seek conscience voice. You're going to get a bad voice. You really will. The Holy Spirit, however, when He, the Holy Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Listen to that voice that's inside you. If you have suspicion, if you have question, if you wonder, don't do it until you know that the Holy Spirit gives you freedom to do what you are going to do. Because God will give you that kind of guidance. So what kind of things are we talking about that Christians should avoid? Well, if we're to avoid all kinds of darkness, all kinds of spirit communication, those kind of things, I would say the things like the using of rods, like you use for water witching, the use of a pendulum. I've seen Christians take pendulums over eggs and that kind of thing to determine whether they're going to get hens or roosters. And I'll tell you what, you can laugh, but there's people get information this way, and it's amazing how true some of it is. Horoscopes, lucky charms, lighting of candles for the dead, rabbit foots or any kind of bracelet or any kind of necklace that you hang around your neck for good luck or for protection or for any kind of thing like that, any kind of card reading or casting of cards, palm reading, the use of blood in any kind of way to make covenants or promises or anything like that, do not do it. The casting of spells, tea leaves. And again, just to keep from sounding like somebody who just repeats and repeats the same thing, but we need to watch our media world. Our media world is focused on the demonic. Even the cartoons are demonic characters, a lot of them. Anything, videos, video games, TVs, whatever, phones, anything that deals with darkness, the demonic, the supernatural, the dragon characters, the animations. And I can tell you a personal testimony. It wasn't about this kind of thing, but our kids, when the computers come out, first of all, they love to play computer games. And we could hardly keep them from it. We'd say, well, you can play for 30 minutes. And they would say, get ready, set, go. And then they would play, and if I would stop them 1 second too soon, they'd say, Dad, it's still not 1 second, or something. It wasn't quite that bad, but it was about that bad. And there was a fight, you took too long, I didn't get my turn, and this and that and the other. And we were frustrated with that, so frustrated with that. Marge and I prayed about it. And God just revealed to me through a number of different ways that it was violence that our kids were being sucked up into. And I simply said, we will not play any more computer games that have anything to do with violence. Any kind of killing, any kind of destructive behavior, any kind of violence in any way. And you know what? That took away 90%, maybe even 95%, maybe even 99% of the computer games back then. And our kids, from that day on, never once argued about playing the computer or how long they got to play it. They didn't play it. They said, Dad, it's no fun. And I just took a second breath and said, wow. My kids were drunk on violence. They really were. So what's that kind of thing? Superstitions like black cats walking under ladders, knocking on wood, and on and on and on. You know them all. Just be careful with it. Those things are dark things. They have nothing to do with Christianity. Tattooing. I've been in prison, and I've seen the sleeves, and I've seen whole body tattoos and all that kind of stuff. But brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us not to tattoo in the first place, but you look at tattoos, you see the spider webs, the barbed wires, the different kinds of eyes, the five-point stars, the snakes, the skulls, the bones, the horns, the dragons, the demonic creatures, the immoral sex and sexual presentations. All that kind of stuff comes from the pit of hell. It really does. And I would absolutely not in any way have any of that on my body because of what it represents. Any kind of contact with the dead or getting information from the dark or unknown or any kind of suspicious source, we need to avoid it. And here's another that's become so popular, and some of you might say, wait a minute, Pastor, you really went off on the deep end on this, but I worked at VMRC, and VMRC is doing this, yoga. But just look at yoga. The exercises are not wrong. Meditation is not wrong, but be careful. Because yoga comes from the pit of hell. It comes from Hinduism and Buddhism. And if you just open your mind, open the space of your mind to anything, it's going to be filled. The Bible talks about if you sweep the house and do not fill it, it will be filled with something. So don't do it. You meditate on things like the Word of God, on His promises, on His presence, on His glory. I'm not saying all the exercises are wrong or that what it accomplishes is wrong. I'm just saying be careful. Now these are only a few suggestions, and you could raise many, many more. I barely touched the surface. But these are examples of darknesses, things of darkness that Christians should avoid. Any kind of involvement with the spirit world or the world of darkness opens our lives for its work, for its presence in our lives. And if we are to avoid these activities and other sinful behavior, the Bible gives us, if we have been involved in this kind of activity or any kind of communication with the dead, what should we do? The Bible gives us an answer. And it's just like any other sin. If we sin, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if a person has something like a tattoo or a fetish, if you have a fetish, I'd get rid of it. I'd throw it away. I'd destroy it. I'd burn it. If you have a tattoo, what are you going to do? I would say confess your sin, and the Lord will forgive you your sin and take that darkness from your life. So, in summary, what about Halloween, which we started with? Well, I would just say this about Halloween. I'm not saying that it is absolutely wrong to celebrate a fall harvest or a fall holiday. And there's many things about the celebration, the giving of candy, and the fun that a person could say, well, there's good things here. And surely there are. But because we are Christians and we are to walk as children of light, I would say that Halloween has enough darkness and enough of the demonic, enough of that kind of thing that we need to be very careful on how we celebrate it. It's celebrated at night. Its symbols, its costumes, its decorations, most of them are demonic and of demonic origin and satanic origin. And we should clear our lives of those kind of things. If you're going to decorate for Halloween, don't decorate with spider webs and ghosts and goblins and spirits and jack-o'-lanterns and all that kind of stuff. Because all of those things are things of Satan, of the devil. We need to clear our lives of that kind of thing. Halloween encourages the works of the flesh. Whenever or else in the time of the year have you been given free permission to do ugly things to people, other people? Keep your lives from that kind of thing. If you're going to celebrate it, make sure your friends know that you are going to declare the glory of God on Halloween and not the glory of Satan, whatever glory that is. Did you know that even the harmless, what might seem like the harmless face of the jack-o'-lantern, was first of all to be the face of a devil? Did you know that? And did you know that what might be as harmless as bobbing for apples was first used as divination? You look it up. It's true. almost everything about Halloween celebrates what we don't want to celebrate.